Support for WPR comes from Tomorrow River Community Virtual School, delivering Waldorf-inspired live virtual lessons to grades 4K through 8th, open to all Wisconsin students. More is at trcvs.org.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
More drivers were expected to hit the roads this Labor Day weekend than in the past 5 years, according to AAA Wisconsin. And unfortunately, that also means more opportunities to get annoyed and worse by bad and unsafe driving habits of other motorists. We'll share our driving pet peeves this hour and get some safer driving tips before the Labor Day travel rush home begins later today. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine, and you're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, September 2nd. Happy September. Happy Labor Day. We will, by the way, have our traditional Labor Day show with the president of the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO coming up after 8 this morning. But this hour, we want to know if you've witnessed any annoying driving habits on this Labor Day weekend so far. What is your biggest driving pet peeve? And do you have a question about the rules of the road? Our guest driving experts are here to help us all be better drivers. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our guests. David Noyce is a professor in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering and the director of the Traffic Operations and Safety Laboratory at UW-Madison. His areas of expertise include driver behavior, and traffic operations. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
And happy Labor Day to you. Thank you for joining us on a Labor Day. And Brian Landers is also with us, chair of the Criminal Justice Department and instructor of traffic law and traffic crash investigation at Madison College. He's also the mayor of Wisconsin Dells. Good morning.
Good morning, Zoya, and good morning, David.
It's great to have you both with us. Let's start with you, Mayor Landers. It's Labor Day, and you're the mayor of a popular travel destination located right off the interstate. How much bad driving have you seen this weekend?
We get our fair share of bad drivers. When people go on vacation, sometimes their driving habits also go on vacation with them.
Right. In fact, I was in your neck of the woods, not quite as far as Wisconsin Dells, but I made it up to Baraboo, and my husband and I had a lovely time seeing some beautiful sights. But on the way home, it was funny because I was asking him, what's your driving pet peeve, since I knew we were doing this show? And he said, this guy right in front of me. The guy had passed us on the left lane. He did put his signal on to signal to go into the right lane in front of us, which is all fine and good and what he should do. But then he slowed down to below the speed limit and kept his right blinker on. And it just annoyed the heck out of my husband, because people who forget they have their blinker on.
Yeah, there's a lot of different, things that bother us out in the driving world. As we're driving, we like things done a certain way because we're creatures of habit, and anything that throws us off usually irritates us pretty easily.
So, David Noyce, why do you think we are annoyed by the driving habits of others?
That's always a great question that we ponder in the research world here in transportation, is trying to figure out drivers and what they do. But I think it's, people develop their own norms and develop their own customs and things that they believe should be in place while they drive, and they always seem to get frustrated when they don't see the same things happening in other drivers.
Well, we'll talk about some specific bad driving habits. A survey by Consumer Reports says the most annoying driving habit, according to the people who took this survey, is texting while driving. It's against the law, number one, but Brian, a lot of people still do this. Why is this such a bad idea?
Well, it takes your eyes and attention off the roadway and your surroundings. Especially for younger generations, it seems like they have to have that immediate correspondence with their friends and family. It's always the best idea that if you're driving with a cell phone to not use it at all. If you have to use it, just pull off the road and take that extra seconds that it takes to pull off the road to safely conduct your message and then go back on the road again.
So how serious is the penalty if you are caught texting while driving, Brian?
The standard penalty in the state is $187.90. The second offense can go all the way up to an $800 fine. And, of course, if you're negligent, then you're looking at criminal charges as well if there's injury or death.
And David Noyes, why do you suppose people keep texting while driving since it is so dangerous?
Well, I think for the convenience, obviously, but we do know, and research has been pretty clear, that the cognitive component of the human brain, or the brain itself, can only process one piece of information at a time. So we know that when people are texting, not only are their eyes off the road, but they're also not able to process some of the other information that's going on as they drive down the roadway. And that's what makes it extremely dangerous, is just the fact that so many things are happening when you drive along the road, and if you can't process that information, then you're bound to miss something, and that something missed often becomes a negative in a potential accident situation.
Well, besides texting while driving, let me ask both of you, David Noyes first, what behavior or habit irritates you the most about other drivers?
I think we just hit on it, Joy. I think the texting and cell phone use while driving is something that, and just driver distraction in general, is something that we focus on quite a bit, both me personally, but as well as the research community, and trying to figure out what we can do to minimize those impacts, because it is such a safety problem that's developing and continuing to develop in the community. So cell phone use and other devices in the car are certainly something that I focus on.
Yeah, and how about you, Brian?
That's up there. For me, it's also high rates of speed. I've seen the casualties of speeding my time in the law enforcement, and speed accounts for a very large percentage, almost 40% of all of our crashes and fatal crashes. So seeing people speed, to me, is just the extra minute or two you might save in getting there is just not worth the risk to themselves and the other drivers and pedestrians and bicyclists that they endanger.
Well, back to the Consumer Reports survey, the third most annoying behavior is tailgating. David Noyes, how much room are we supposed to leave the car in front of us?
Well, if you look at the Wisconsin Motorist Handbook or General Rules of the Road, suggests approximately 4 seconds of spacing between vehicles if you can get that in a normal stream of vehicles, and that just provides enough time for perception reaction to the driver ahead of you and enough time to brake your vehicle if you need to in an emergency situation.
Yeah. Brian, any thoughts on what we should do if someone's riding our bumper?
If it's a dangerous situation, it's just reduce your speed, stay as far as you can to the right. If you have to pull over, take a deep breath. Realize that not everybody is a good driver, and exercise a little bit more caution to save you and the other motorists around you.
Well, I'm going to share my producer, Robin Cherry, drives in every morning. She lives in Milwaukee, and she drives to Madison every morning. It won't be going on forever, but it has been all summer long since she started. And she said that what irks her are the bright lights that are shining from the car behind her, and then the cars in front of her coming in the opposite direction for 72 miles, because it's dark out when she's coming in, as it is as when I'm coming in too in the morning. I guess that it's that irks me too if lights are shining in my rearview mirror and then I click the mirror over, so that doesn't bother me. But if someone especially has their brights on as they're coming toward you, you're not supposed to do that, Brian Landers, but does it do any good if should I flash my lights on and off at that person?
That seems to be kind of the customary habit or customary signal, the universal signal. Just sometimes remind people that their lights are on as they give a quick flash as a gentle reminder. If the person does not adhere to that, try to use your peripheral vision by looking down to a darker corner, but still being able to watch the roadway, and obviously don't stare into the bright lights. And again, if it becomes bothersome, reduce your speed, pull to the right, or stop if you must.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not somebody with their brights on, David Noyes. I think some cars just have odd or brighter lights, don't they?
Yeah, some of the new technologies make the brights and the lights in general seem brighter to the driver as they approach. One of the interesting things, though, that many motorists don't understand is that the bright lights are actually the driving lights that we should use. And just the rule says that when you become within 500 feet of a vehicle, either on the approach or behind the vehicle, that's when you dim your lights to the low beam. So most drivers will drive in low beam all the time, but if you're by yourself, it's best to use the high beam to improve your visibility.
Well, that's good to know, because I need my high beams on, especially driving at night when there isn't a lot of light out there. So, but I do try to remember to go down to low beam when a car is approaching. We are talking about annoying driving habits and unsafe driving habits with two guests who are driving experts, and we're welcoming your traffic pet peeve, your driving pet peeve, at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with David Noyes, professor in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering and director of the Traffic Operations and Safety Laboratory at UW-Madison. And we also have with us Brian Landers. He's the chair of the Criminal Justice Department and instructor of traffic law and traffic crash investigation at Madison College. He's also the mayor of Wisconsin Dells. They're here to respond to your traffic pet peeves, your driving pet peeves, and to answer your questions about the rules of the road. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. What is your biggest driving pet peeve? Is it tailgaters, people swerving in and out of lanes, not turning off their brights with oncoming traffic? Did you witness any bad driving habits during this Labor Day weekend so far? Care to fess up on any bad driving behavior you might have? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have two guests with us who can help us be safer, better drivers. David Noyce is a professor in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering and the director of the Traffic Operations and Safety Laboratory at UW-Madison, and Brian Landers, who is chair of the Criminal Justice Department and instructor of traffic law and traffic crash investigation at Madison College. And we have full lines. I'm going to go to them in just a moment, but I do want to confess one of my bad driving habits. I know that I am guilty, or I'm going to say I was guilty, of not promptly getting out of the left passing lane when I should. And I heard about this being such a pet peeve of people. I guess I was being a road hog. And I heard about this on shows like this, and that helped me change that bad habit. So maybe we can change some bad habits by sharing them during this hour. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. In fact, being a road hog, is that against the law, Brian Landers, being in that left lane and not passing?
Well, it's against the law if you are impeding speed by slow traffic. So if your speed is that much of a difference between the posted speed limits and the traveling speed limits.
Oh, so if you're a lead foot like I am, I wasn't breaking the law then.
Yeah, the best bet is just always, you know, unless there's inclement weather or other traffic conditions, is to do the posted speed limits.
Yeah, let's take some calls. Victor in West Dallas is with us. Hi, Victor.
Hi. You know, a couple of things. We notice a lot of people now. We take secondary highways, and we notice a lot of people now. We have a no passing zone, single line, a double line, where a lot of people are passing us in these lanes. Two, which takes you really by surprise, is that they're starting to pass us on the right. And that, you're really not expecting that. All at once, this car is coming right up on you. And you go, where the hell did they come from?
Wow. Yeah, that's not good. Is it, David Noyce?
No, that is definitely not good. And obviously, passing when there's a double yellow line is not legal nor safe, though those lines are placed there when there's a limited sight distance where you do not have enough space to pass. And, of course, passing on the right, there are certain situations at turning vehicles and other places where that is legal, but for the most part, passing on the right is never safe.
Yeah. And I'm just going to go out on a limb that some people might pass in a no-passing zone, and they shouldn't do that. But if somebody is slow-poking, is that as bad or as annoying to be going under the posted speed limit and maybe as unsafe as speeding, Brian?
It could be. You could be, drawing the ire of the other motorist. It all depends the difference in, the slow poke, so to say, speed compared to the posted speed limits. Again, you could be drawing the frustrations of other people and then causing them to become more aggressive on the roadway, which then endangers yourself.
Yeah. One thing that I think everybody should remember is if you are, slower traffic, move right when you have the opportunity. I see this all the time on one of the highways I drive a lot in the state is Highway 26, because I'm from the Fox Valley and I go there quite often. And they do have these double lanes where slower traffic can pull over to the right so faster traffic can proceed in the left lane. And so many people won't do that. I think it's just, what, are we just in a trance, you think, David?
Well, I think, yeah, some people like to maintain their space on the roadway, but those are very effective locations for two reasons. One is that they allow capacity of the roadway to be maintained and allows for the faster-moving vehicles to pass the slower-moving vehicles so we don't create the big bottlenecks and congestion of vehicles. But it also does add to the safety. One of the big safety issues on the roadway is speed variance. So when we have a number of vehicles operating at different speeds on the same road, and ideally, if everybody drove the same speed, then we wouldn't have a big safety issue.
Mm-hmm.
But when we have that speed variance, then those lanes are very effective.
Ron in Medford is with us. Hi, Ron.
Hi there. Yeah, my main pet peeve, I got some. But anyway, people don't know the difference between a stop sign and a yield sign. They just pull up to a stop sign, never stop, keep going. Sometimes they just slow down just fast, so they're going slow to make the turn.
Yeah, so they're doing a
lot of people. Yeah. A lot of people doing this.
Ron, thank you. So, just yielding at a stop sign irks Ron. That's the rolling stop, Brian.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the most common questions I get from the new academy students is, what is the law on stop signs? And the law requires that your vehicle must come to a cease movement. It must come to a cease movement. Usually a lot of, especially in urban or metropolitan areas, they will have a clear designated stop, a line along the roadway. So you must stop at that line or before a crosswalk. If there is no line present, such as maybe a rural area, then you must stop somewhere before you can safely enter the intersection and proceed. But your vehicle is required to make a full stop.
Mm-hmm. I just was reminded of another annoyance that I ran into almost. It was a car in front of me. We were both entering an entrance ramp onto a highway, and this car, instead of yielding to traffic, well, I should say the driver was yielding, I guess, but had hundreds and hundreds of feet to before actually merging onto the highway, came to a complete stop because there were cars in the right lane. And David Noyce, I just about rear-ended this person because it is your responsibility if you're entering a highway to yield, but stopping is another thing, isn't it?
Yes, that's an extremely dangerous maneuver. What the driver should do is adjust their speed until they find the appropriate gap to enter the traffic flow, but certainly stopping is something that should never be done.
Yeah. Ron in Broadhead is with us now. Hi, Ron.
Good morning. My question is, and when I took driver's ed 50 years ago, we were always taught yield to the right, yield to the right. And now with these roundabouts, it's yield to the left. So is it yield to the right and left, or is it changed so we yield to everybody to the left?
Oh, David Noyce, I think you know about this because we talked to you about roundabouts another time on the show.
Yes, roundabouts still remain a very hot topic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so in roundabout situations, you are yielding to the left. In theory, in roundabouts, there's really nothing to yield to the right to. So you're entering that traffic flow. So in roundabouts, there's less yield points in terms of the pedestrian crossing as you enter than the vehicles coming, but the yield to the right rule applies to more traditional four-leg intersections.
Yeah. So, Ron, are you a fan or a foe of the roundabout?
I it's definitely confusing to an older driver that is not used to them. Once you've been around them and know where they're going, it does help, but it's something I'm not a fan of.
Yeah, right.
And as a snow plower for a community down here, I sure glad we don't have any to plow snow around either. I think they'd be a nightmare for any type of snow plowing procedures.
Yeah, I don't mean to turn this into a debate over roundabouts, but David Noyce, tell us briefly what the theory is for the roundabout. Why are we seeing so many of them being put into our highways?
Sure. Roundabouts have really two benefits. One is that they keep traffic moving, so we see good capacity components with roundabouts. And secondly, because they do slow vehicles on the approach and in the roundabout itself, they're a major safety improvement. We've seen across the state in a study on roundabouts that when roundabouts are installed, fatal and high serious crashes really go away because of just the speed differences of the approaches at the intersection. So they're a major safety improvement.
And, Brian, we have just 30 seconds. All those new roundabouts on Highway 12 working okay?
Yeah, they seem to be working really well. And I would also remind people that the Department of Transportation has an excellent website, and there's some good resources on the roundabouts, the reason for them, and how to safely navigate them.
Yeah, in fact, I think I provided a link to the How to Drive in Roundabouts on the Joy Cardin Show Facebook page if you want to check that out. We will check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back talking more about annoying driving habits, unsafe driving habits, and getting some tips from our two guests. I'm Joy Cardin. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Here in my car, I feel safest of all. I can lock on my doors. It's the only way to live in cars.
We're talking about driving our cars during this hour, especially with the Labor Day traffic that we can expect to begin in earnest later this afternoon. We are sharing some rules of the road and our driving pet peeves. I'm Joy Cardin. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 6:37 on this Monday, Labor Day, September the 2nd. We are fortunate to have with us today two driving experts discussing the hazards posed by tailgating, failing to signal, distracted driving, and other driving habits that irk you. And we invite you to share your questions and your pet peeves at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardin Show Facebook page. With us, Brian Landers, chair of the Criminal Justice Department and instructor of traffic law and traffic crash investigation at Madison College. He's also the mayor of Wisconsin Dells. And David Noyce, a professor in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering and the director of the Traffic Operations and Safety Laboratory at UW-Madison. His areas of expertise include driver behavior and traffic operations. We said that according to a survey from Consumer Reports, the number one annoying and unsafe driving habit is texting while driving. And Dawn from Wausau emailed wondering, what is the best way to handle a situation where you see someone on a cell phone while driving and is driving unsafely? Brian, you want to handle that?
Well, first, don't get distracted by that driver. Practice good defensive driving habits yourself, and if you have the opportunity, pull off and report that driver to the authorities so that they can take enforcement action.
Mm-hmm. And John from Green Bay emails, my pet peeve is motorists who get crazy upset at me because I drive just below the speed limit. What's the matter with people? The limit is the maximum allowable speed under ideal conditions. What is so hard about that? Well, David?
Well, yeah, I think that's something that we see quite often, that the society has moved to a high pace where people like to travel at speeds a little bit above the speed limit. If somebody is not traveling at that speed, then they get annoyed. You know, not a whole lot we can do about that when there's not opportunities for vehicles to pass. But driving the speed limit, if we would all do it, would be a much safer situation.
Al in Stoughton is with us now. Hi, Al.
Hi.
What's your pet peeve?
It has to do with stoplight intersections and yellow lights and then red light runners. It seems like there's a certain percentage of those folks that are just plain selfish and more or less a menace. But there's also some people that I think are dealing with a speed variance issue. When I'm passing through intersections on the way to Madison, I'm going through intersections at speed limits of 25, 30, 40, and 45 miles an hour. What I have trouble with is the folks that are merely confused. When that yellow kicks on, should I go through or should I pull up short? And it would be greatly helpful to me if someone, a traffic engineer, were to mark out a pass-through mark or line so that I knew that if that yellow hit and I was before that line, I was obligated to stop. If I was past it, I was free to move through that intersection. Why can't we have that assistance?
Mm. David Noyes?
That's a great comment, Al. And what we know is because speeds do vary on the approach, it would be impossible to put down one line that would meet all drivers on the approach. And what Al is describing is something that we call a dilemma zone. And what that means is we've all been in that situation where the light turns yellow and you don't know for sure if you have enough time to stop or if you have enough time to make it through the intersection. You become in that dilemma area where you're just not quite sure what to do. Some people will push it, some people will stop. And it's a challenge that we deal with as traffic engineers quite a bit, trying to find that optimal location and timing the red and the yellow signals to accommodate that. So Al points out a very important problem that we still don't have a great answer to.
Yeah, I guess I have sort of a gut instinct that if I'm going to have to slam on my brakes and squeal to a stop, I'm just going to proceed through that yellow. But, Brian, any advice on that?
Well, a yellow light statutorily does require you to stop. And I think we all know that what follows the yellow is the red. A lot of drivers just feel that they need to beat that intersection to, again, get where they're going a little bit quicker. But by state law, a yellow light does mean to stop. There is a portion of the statute regarding failure to obey a traffic signal that does say that if you are kind of caught so close to the intersection that you cannot safely make that stop before the stop line or the intersection, that you're allowed to proceed through. But that is a common misnomer. Traffic officers deal with that a lot when people are going through yellow lights, thinking that they're still allowed to proceed through that intersection and they're not.
Oops. Well, I'll remember that. What about, Brian, if you're making a left turn and the light is green, but there's no green arrow, and it's, you know, you're waiting for oncoming traffic to pass and clear so you can take a left-hand turn. Am I supposed to be out into the intersection a little bit so I can simply turn? Or am I supposed to stay behind the green light?
Well, it all depends upon the intersection and the traffic conditions at the time and what you feel is safe to do. But if you do have a green light and you are allowed to proceed into that intersection, if you're taking a left turn, then obviously you're also required to yield any oncoming traffic. So the short answer is yes, you can be in the intersection. But if you feel it's just unsafe to do so because you might be unfamiliar due to the traffic conditions or weather conditions, then you can stay in the turn lane if you feel you must.
Okay, that's one of my pet peeves is when I'm behind someone who doesn't proceed into the intersection. But I guess I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that they feel unsafe. Ed in Wapaka is with us. Hi, Ed.
Hi. I learned something a long time ago in driving, and I don't believe it has changed recently, that the difference between a yellow crosswalk and a white crosswalk is a white crosswalk, pedestrian has to cross your vehicle. In a yellow crosswalk, the person has to cross the intersection. Is that still in effect?
I'm sorry, Ed, I didn't understand what the condition was for the white crosswalk.
Well, in most, city intersections, there's white crosswalks. But at schools and places where there are children, the crosswalks are yellow.
Okay, well, what's the difference? What's the difference, Brian?
I think it's just more trying to alert traffic to a potential school zone. requirement is that whenever there is a marked crosswalk, once the pedestrian enters that crosswalk, all traffic in all directions must stop and allow that pedestrian to cross that crosswalk.
Okay, Ed?
Well, yeah, but say there's only one car in the intersection, it's in the right-hand lane, and it's a yellow crosswalk. According to the law that I read, if a person is crossing from the right side in front of your vehicle and it's yellow, you still have to wait till they get all the way across the street to enter the intersection.
That's correct. The pedestrian has right of way in the crosswalk, and you're required to stop and make sure that the pedestrian safely crosses that street. You know, that's just a general, you know, again, when these laws are submitted and voted upon and put into the state statute books, roadways vary in width and length, and so do crosswalks. So it's hard for the legislatures to understand or know all the different traffic conditions. So that's just a general law that when a pedestrian is in the crosswalk, all vehicles around that crosswalk are required to stop and yield to that pedestrian.
Now, and I tuned in late. I don't know if you've talked about this yet, but I drive a school bus, and my biggest peeve is seeing people pass a bus when the red lights are flashing and the stop arm is out.
Yeah, that's a no-no. Right, Brian, that's against the law, isn't it?
Yes, and it carries a heavy fine. It's a $326 fine. Mm. It's in a four points on your driver's license if you stop or fail to stop for the stop arm or the emergency lights of a school bus.
Yeah. So, David Noyce, do you think that we do all these things because we're just bad drivers, or we want to get somewhere quickly, or are we just not aware that these things are against the law?
I think it's really a combination of all of them, Joy. I you know, it's something that we study quite a bit in trying to understand driver behavior and the decisions that drivers make. And you know, the challenge we have is that there's millions of drivers on our roadway that all need to use the same facilities for getting to where they need to go. And trying to understand drivers is a tremendous challenge in the research community. So that's a question that we still don't really know the answer to.
You know, I saw a story in the news recently. It was from Allstate Insurance based on insurance claims, and it named Madison, Wisconsin, the fifth best city for drivers, that we have the best drivers, the fifth best drivers in the country in Madison. Did you laugh when you saw that, David Noyce?
Well, I'm not sure I laugh, but I think we do overall, you know, for all the things that your callers have put forth already this morning. They're, you know, we're not too bad when you look around the country and travel around the country and see some of the other communities and cities that deal with bad driving behavior. And overall, we're a pretty safe community and safe state in terms of the number of crashes that happen, and that's one of the things the insurance companies will focus on.
Yeah. Stella in Sturgeon Bay is with us. Hi, Stella.
Hi. I have three quick things. The first one is the situation that was brought up of pulling into an intersection to wait to make a left turn, if you do that, you need to be sure that you don't turn your wheels to the left before you actually start moving to make your turn, because it's very dangerous. You keep your wheels straight ahead in case you're...
you don't want to get pushed into the oncoming traffic. Yeah.
Right. And the second thing is, I obey the law, and I drive the speed limit, and I set my cruise control on the speed limit. And frankly, I really don't understand why people feel they have a God-given right to break the law by exceeding the speed limit. And the third thing is, in the situation, Joy, you were talking about on Highway 26, where there are short distances where a third lane is added for a passing lane, and you wonder why people who are driving slowly, which is in my case obeying the speed limit, don't move over to the right. And the reason that I continue in the left lane if I'm on that highway is because you get somebody who is passing, if they don't complete their pass, that's a very limited length of a lane. If they don't complete their pass, you get cut off in the right lane, and you have to slow radically down in order to be able to get back safely and not get run off the road.
Yeah, good point. Very good point, Stella. I'm sorry, because we have a break coming up. Let me ask David Noyce about that. I mean, you move over to that right lane, and you can't get back into the left lane.
Yeah, that's too bad. Things like that happen. You know, drivers are obviously need to allow you to a gap to get back into the through lane when that bypass lane ends. So it's one of the challenges of driving.
Yeah. We are going to take a short break, and then we will continue to take your driving pet peeves and your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Joker wants the race.
Oh, race? That's ridiculous.
All right, come on. Let's go. Let's go.
That was a clip from the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, where John Candy thinks the driver in a car next to him wants to race. We heard a lot of excessive horn honking going on there. We are talking about the annoying driving habits that we all have seen and maybe we possess, and welcoming your questions and your pet peeves at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with David Noyce, professor in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering and the director of the Traffic Operations and Safety Laboratory at UW-Madison, and Brian Landers, chair of the Criminal Justice Department and instructor of traffic law and traffic crash investigation at Madison College. So, Brian Landers, is there an appropriate time for us to be honking our horns?
Yes, you're allowed to give an audible signal to alert the driver to unsafe or hazard that's, you know, either on the vehicles and provide due warning to other people that share the roadway. A lot of us use it to express our frustration out there, and it seems like a gentle beep compared to a long, drawn-out blaring of the horn kind of is used to signify emotions these days. But it's also illegal to use a horn in an illegal fashion or a nuisance fashion as well.
Yeah. So, David Noyce, are we getting better or worse when it comes to road rage?
Well, I think we're getting better based on the statistics that I have seen, but I think the definition of road rage varies for some people. So, you know, some of the things we're talking about can certainly fall into that definition, which people find to be annoying.
Yeah. The I didn't mean to give Stella and Sturgeon Bay short shrift here, but she had three different points there, and lots of other callers there I want to get in on. But she said, I just don't understand why people think it's their God-given right to exceed the speed limit. David Noyce, any thoughts on that?
It's a behavior that's developed over time, you know, for lots of reasons that you know, way beyond we want to spend time answering. But between the geometry of the roadways and the improvement in the roadways and the improvement in cars over time, it's we believe drivers just feel comfortable traveling at a speed that's higher than the posted speed limit. And, you know, there's a lot of work going on at the Federal Highway Administration and State Departments of Transportation trying to find the best way to post speed limits that better meet driver needs.
Let's go next to Jeff in Racine. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Yeah, I was thinking that one of the most distracting things on the road is when the sheriff's department's got somebody pulled over on the side. Everybody feels they got to slow down, and sometimes you get the people that slow down to like 40 miles an hour and try to cut, you know, they cut you off to get in front of you to try to pull over instead of just being cautious. If they would just have the sheriff's department, you know, set up a new rule where if they're going to pull somebody over, they just take them to the next exit and get off the road, because they can probably end up causing more accidents than preventing with having them on the side of the road all the time.
Any thoughts on that, Brian?
Well, police officers are trained to pull the motorist over in a safe location, but obviously that doesn't always work out for the officer's plans. You know, you can imagine maybe a drunk driving stop. You know, it's definitely more dangerous to have that person continue going or a person that just suddenly stops. There is the move over law that is required in Wisconsin, which is a very good law, and it's there to protect not only public safety but also those that work on the roadways regularly, like road crews or tow truck drivers. And, you know, I just don't think that asking our area motorists to slow down and be a little bit more cautious for the police officers and firefighters conducting business and saving lives is that much to ask. Mm-hmm.
Next, we go to Jean in Madison. Hi, Jean.
Oh, hi. So I joined a little bit late, but talking about the pedestrians in the crosswalk, when I lived in California for a few years, a couple decades ago, it just seemed like there was a higher consciousness about that, and you could have a pedestrian step off the curb and six lanes of traffic would come to a stop, and here you just don't see it. I think we need a huge, like, consciousness-raising education and enforcement or something so everyone gets on the same page, because, frankly, I want to stop for every pedestrian, and sometimes I'm afraid to because I think the cars behind me aren't going to expect me to stop and they're going to hit me, or there's a couple lanes and I've had where I'll stop and then someone will either swerve around me because they want to pass me, or the other lane keeps going, and it can be really terrifying when you see a pedestrian thinking that someone is stopping for them, but maybe everybody isn't, and it's really scary. So sometimes it almost feels too dangerous to do that.
Yeah. David Noyce.
Yeah, that's the problem that we see, certainly. You know, Brian can comment on it better than I can, but there is requirements to yield to pedestrians. There's certain segments of cities and towns where it's enforced and where it's practiced more than others. But, you know, hopefully we can all get into the habit of yielding to pedestrians when they're in the crosswalk.
Mm-hmm. Brian, any thoughts on whether in Wisconsin we don't yield to pedestrians as much as other states?
In my opinion, we don't. You know, in living and being in the Dells area, you know, that is a huge issue for us with the amount of thousands of pedestrians in a crowded tourist area and several unmarked intersections in which they have to cross busy streets. And we've experimented in our city with working with the Department of Transportation with different engineering and sign markings, and we actually have little flashing lights within our roadway that pedestrians can hit a button to activate those lights for people to slow down. But it's a major issue, and motorists overall in Wisconsin need to remind themselves that they have to share the road with non-vehicles as well.
A quick 10-second tip from both of you to make it a safer Labor Day drive later today. Brian Landers?
Don't drink and drive and slow down.
And David Noyce?
Put your cell phone down.
There we go. Thank you both very much for being with us. We really appreciate it. David Noyce is a professor in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering and the director of the Traffic Operations and Safety Laboratory at UW-Madison. And Brian Landers is the chair of the Criminal Justice Department and instructor of traffic law and traffic crash investigation at Madison College. He's also the mayor of Wisconsin Dells. Thanks to both of them for being with us. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing the program and to Robin Cherry for on-air production and direction. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.